Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly, find ourselves almost to February in that peculiar slant of light poet Emily Dickinson was not at all at ease with. Satan's harm and clever lies abound. As the pastor with Age and Dignity, the pastor of the Hagerstown Church of God, told us on WWCR, Saturday, January 12th, 9 a.m., following our own program on 7.490 at 8 a.m., again, that was 7.490, he said, "The fear of God is the beginning of truth." No, there is very little fear or respect for God's plan, will, or judgment power, both inside and outside the churches.
Only the most careful discernment and deep prayer will keep the elect from falling into a myriad of deceptions, delusions, and just plain old sin. We have to constantly keep assessing ourselves and the climate around us. Elizabeth and I were, for example, promoting Pastor Rodney Howard Brown as a key religious advisor to Trump. Yet he and Paula White, pastor also encouraging Trump, clearly seen in videos of them years back in Holy Laughter and Slain Spirit groups. Rodney himself is shown babbling in meaningless ecstasy, along with highly controversial figure Kenneth Copeland. We just cannot endorse Brown anymore and have to question the validity spiritually of one who is called the Holy Ghost bartender. We can only hope and pray President Trump has input from other leaders, like the stalwart Franklin Graham. Tonight, we're on the front lines of society, in the darkest, where Satan most defamed or deformed accomplices lie in wait to deceive and destroy. A news cross-section of our times, The Twilight Zone, Part 1.
Those of you who just love to take your children and your grands to that all-American resort, Dollywood, and, you know, it's set up by the adored celebrity Dolly Parton, you might be surprised by this news clip. December 24, 2018, People Magazine. Dolly Parton's husband has a crush on Jennifer Aniston. The country star told Jimmy Fallon her husband of 52 years, Carl Dean Thomas, was more excited than she was about working with Aniston on Dumplin'. Quote, "I think he fantasizes like a threesome," Parton said. A little bit more of some chatter. Again, January 21st, 2019, People Magazine, five things we're talking about. Four of them didn't really apply that much to our needs on this program. But number two was fans embrace the Bird Box Challenge. The Netflix thriller starring Sandra Bullock as a mom who must wear a blindfold to stay alive roused viewers to do daily tasks with their eyes covered and documented on social media. "Please do not hurt yourselves," Netflix tweeted. There's a lot behind that story. For a few days back, a week or so, we had an interview on the Alex Jones program by Devin Stack of blackfilm.com, I believe was one website mentioned. And he was taken off Twitter because of his critiques of things that were having to do with pedophilia. So, you know, we're really advised not to be using Netflix. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And in this discussion, it came out that if you're paying for Netflix, you're funding child porn. You're actually creating a demand for this awful content. And in association with that, Alex Jones talked about something I had heard him say before, but I didn't realize it was situated in Austin, Texas, where he resides. And they were men. These were tapes, videos that he says he has of men bragging that seven-year-old boys were dancing in drag bars. And in this, these seven-year-old boys were walking alongside these men who were naked except for glitter on their male parts. And here these young boys are walking along. You know, listeners, the long-ago taunt, "We will sodomize your sons," now seems to be coming true, down to the smallest, most hapless little boy child. Devin Stack says they desensitize all of us to the rape of children. And he talked about how Brooke Shields in Pretty Baby, the movie of long ago, was an 11-year-old, and there was no public outrage. And I'm ashamed to remember that as a young person at that time, I was caught up in sort of a glamour of this movie. Somehow, I never realized this was a child being molested. I'm ashamed to say that. And that shows that people who did not have a strong Christian church, and by the time I was a teenager, my father kept remarking, the church is dead, the church is dead. I didn't know what he meant. But believe me, I do know what he meant now, because he could remember those campground meetings, those spirit-filled get-togethers, and they weren't speaking in tongues, by the way. He could remember those that Al Cuppett talked about. So, you see, here we are. We're desensitized. No public outrage then. And then Alex Jones told about the Roman Polanski Award a few years ago with Meryl Streep and Jack Nicholson standing right there. And Alex says that Meryl said something to the effect that he should be honored and how great he was, etc. And Jack reportedly may have been involved with Polanski at the rape scene of the underage girl. So you see, this movement against censorship is now becoming a little more selective, I think. It's going after Christians. You'll hear a little later about Franklin Graham. It's going after people who do want to censor this filth. And the left is now trying to turn black people into a weaponized army. So now we get a little bit into this movie, The Bird Box. And it's very anti-white, for one thing. And there is this message to keep your eyes shut, we'll do your thinking for you. And it reminded me of Stanley Kubrick's movie Eyes Wide Shut with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman and others. And we have heard that he probably was taken out because it involved showing the high Illuminati sexual orgies and things that they didn't want to have shown, probably sacrifice, human sacrifice. All these things were written about in a book called One World by Tal Brooke, Talbrooke. So in this movie, we have this same message that the masses are to be quiet, they're dumb, they're to just wait for the elite to do their thinking. And according to Jones and Stack, the movie opens with Sandra Bullock openly abusing children. And, of course, Alex said he knows a lot about this particular movie star because she lives in Austin. And he said anything she's involved with is, I won't use the words he used, but it meant that it's probably global and something that's not good. Actually, he said dirtbaggery is what he said. And I would have to say, as a celebrity watcher, I admired her. I thought she was always youthful looking, and I felt sorry when her first marriage broke up. But I did always wonder about her adoption. She adopted a little boy named Lewis and then a little girl named Layla, and they were African American. And to me, I always wonder about that. Now, I don't wonder so much if there's a family that takes in foster children, and they might have four African American children, maybe two Orientals. You see that. But I said to Lou, you know, as Christian as we hope we are, we would think a long time before we would adopt an African-American child. The reason would be it may cause them a lot of harm. They're out of their culture, and perhaps we couldn't be as good parents to them as they ought to have. And I think we can speak feelingly about this because we both taught in large schools in Prince George's County, Maryland, in which there was a very large black population. And I had wonderful relationships myself with a lot of black parents in a very poor neighborhood. And I loved the children. They loved me. But I would not have wanted to take them out of their culture. I think this is a disservice, just the way a lot of the church schools took the Indians, the American Indians, and supposedly reformed them, really abused them. So here we have The other thing that always puzzled me about Sandra Bullock personally, all these pictures would have her carrying little Lewis when he was 3 and 4 years old, the way you might carry a 3-month-old child. And he always had this stunned look, almost a look of fright on his face. I only thought that seemed very odd to be carrying that child, too possessive or too something. Maybe the lady protested too much. So at any rate, in this movie that Sandra Bullock is beginning the credits with, the going right after them, openly abusing children, then we have an instance of her drinking liquor after a sonogram, and there's some comment that it doesn't matter anyway. Now, we can see that's pro-abortion. The value of life isn't considered. And then, for our purposes here, we're thinking very much about the harm to the children. But we have to also note that the elite thinks that the masses are just dumb farm animals to be sent to war and slaughtered. So that in this movie, Devin Stack noted that the only people depicted, there were two kinds of people, and the one kind was just innately evil. They were horrible. They just had so much evil in them, and then they'd go crazy, and they were all white. There wasn't a black one among them. And then there were some other people, when they saw the evil thing, they went and killed themselves. So you see, we have this propaganda that all white people are evil killers. And then we have also promoting the idea that people cannot stand up for themselves. They have to go kill themselves. So we've got that thing going on with the men of the world, really, trying to emasculate them so they won't stand up against the New World Order, so they won't have any guns, so they won't have any desire to protect their families because they don't have any families anymore. And Devin said, at the end of the day, they want us to be cattle, so accepting of whatever evil they give us that we will never question their control. But this is a program that does question their control, and we are trying to warn the Christian remnant, the true Church of Jesus Christ. And in this twilight zone of tonight's program, Lou's going to tell us
something very strange is happening to Earth's magnetic North Pole, and no one knows why. This is by James Seidel, Fox News, January 10th, 2019. Planet Earth is alive. Deep beneath its skin, its lifeblood, rivers of molten iron, pulse around its core. And this mobile iron is what generates the magnetic field that causes auroras and keeps us alive. But according to the science journal Nature, something strange is going on deep down below. It's causing the magnetic North Pole to skitter away from Canada towards Siberia. Quote, the magnetic pole is moving so quickly that it has forced the world's geomagnetism experts into a rare move, Nature reports. On January 30th, delayed due to the U.S. government shutdown, the world magnetic model, which governs modern navigation systems, is due to undergo an urgent update. This model is a vital component of systems ranging from geopositioning systems used to navigate ships through to smartphone trackers and maps. The current model is expected to be valid until 2020, but the magnetic pole began to shift so quickly it was realized in 2018 that the model had to be fixed now. Nature reports, quote, they realized that it was so inaccurate that it was about to exceed the acceptable safe limits for navigational errors, unquote. Every year, geophysicists from the U.S. National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, and the British Geological Survey do a check on how the Earth's magnetic field is varying. This is necessary as the liquid iron churning in the Earth's core does not move in a consistent manner. Nature reports, quote, in 2016, for instance, part of the magnetic field temporarily accelerated deep under northern South America and the eastern Pacific Ocean. This shift was captured by satellites. But the movement of the North Magnetic Pole has been the object of study since 1831. Initially, it was tracked moving into the Arctic Ocean at a rate of about 15 kilometers each year. But since the mid-1990s, it has picked up speed. It's now shifting at a rate of about 55 kilometers a year. But another recent study has revealed the Earth's magnetic field has been acting up now for some 1,000 years. Why the magnetic field is shifting so dramatically is unknown. Nature reports, quote, geomagnetic pulses, like the one that happened in 2016, might be traced back to hydromagnetic waves arising from deep in the core, and the fast motion of the north magnetic poles of magnetic pole could be linked to a high-speed jet of liquid iron beneath Canada, unquote. This fast-flowing molten river appears to be weakening the magnetic influence of the iron core beneath North America, says Phil Silvermore of the University of Leeds, talking to an American Geophysical Union meeting, quote, the location of the North Magnetic Pole appears to be governed by two large-scale patches of magnetic field. One is beneath Canada and one beneath Siberia. The Siberian patch is winning the competition, unquote. And as global warming opens up more shipping lanes to the north of Russia and Canada, this presents a potentially deadly problem. Quote, the fact that the pole is going fast makes this region more prone to large errors, says Arno Shuliat, a geomagnetist at the University of Colorado Boulder and NOAA.
Unusual things about that pole. We might not believe in the global warming, but there are some things going on. And the news reported on Tuesday morning, January 15th, 2019, a 4.6 Richter earthquake. And it appeared 136 miles southeast, I believe, from Ocean City. And this is Maryland. This is where Lou and I are. Well, this was a ho-hum, go-back-to-sleep number for most people, but not for those who recall that, number one, more than 16 people claim to have had prophetic visions of a tsunami coming to the east coast of America. And number two, not for those people who have read Dr. John L. Casey's books, Cold Sun, Dark Winter, and lastly his newest one, Upheaval, Why Catastrophic Earthquakes Will Soon Hit the United States. Lou and I bought this book and have never had time yet to read it. Now we picked it up, scanned the various sections, and believe it is an absolute must for those of you who want to be warned of vital concerns. And I'm going to first give you the website, www.trafford.com. And that address, if you have a pen, I'll repeat that, www.trafford.com, Trafford Publishing, North America and International. And here is the toll-free number, 1-888-232-4444. Again, 1-888-232-4444. And Lou is going to give you a review of a small part of scientist Casey's warnings. Then he'll repeat the phone number to you once more. And as you recall, Casey's postulation is that there's a coming small ice age linked to the minimum sunspot era. And now we will go into the book.
Dr. Casey is no slouch. Having worked and collaborated with top NASA scientists, in a nutshell, he documents past small ice ages caused by sunspot minimum activity, such as the Dalton minimum, which was enforced during what I've talked about on this program previously, New England 1816, nicknamed the Year Without a Summer. Snow in July, crop failures, etc. Casey begins by saying of this era, perhaps more importantly, these past events happened during an era, and I'm quoting from his book now, early 1800s, when most Americans were self-sufficient. They raised their own food or had access to the local butcher or baker and could trade for goods without the need of money per se. They were living without support from any but their own family. And, of course, all Americans at that time were completely without any government assistance. even with a fireplace and ample wood to burn, thousands of Americans still froze to death or starved to death during the last solar hibernation, the Dalton Minimum. This was also the last period of cold when the New Madrid seismic zone broke apart. What preparations are recommended in this text are far from lunatic conspiracy theories. They are, rather, the result of a comprehensive set of validated science, not politicized science. It is the logical outcome of proper and objective analysis of historical events conducted by serious, concerned scientists, researchers, and organizations with proven records of excellence, whose only motives are to help people be prepared for the future. It is now time for our government at all levels, along with the media, to come clean about the geophysical threats we face. The people must be told and given what they need to prepare for the most destructive geophysical era since our country was founded. This call to arms must also be issued with a sense of urgency. Some of these historic earthquakes could hit right after the book is published. In this book, we have done our best to lay out the science behind what we believed to be the greatest natural threats to our kind for the past 200 years, and perhaps far longer. The following is what we have discovered and explained in great detail, and restated here as a summary assessment of the predicted catastrophic earthquakes in the United States between now and the year 2045. Summary assessment. High risk zone assessment. The NMSZ. There is a minimum 80% chance of a catastrophic earthquake with a magnitude of 6.8 to 8.0, or more likely a series of such earthquakes, affecting this eight-state region between 2017 and 2038. This includes substantial collateral economic damage and personal suffering to the northeastern U.S. states and their people. The CSC, which I assume is the central part of the country, there is at least a 60% probability that the CSC will rupture at a magnitude of M8.0 or greater during the period from 2017 to 2038, with the strongest likelihood being a Segment C event. California, there is at least an 80% chance of more than one catastrophic earthquake of at least magnitude 6.7 or higher hitting the state during the period of 2017 to 2031. And an 80% chance of a catastrophic 7.9 or greater quake striking the state along that is during the same period. Alaska, there's a minimum 82% chance of a catastrophic earthquake, magnitude 7.9 or greater, striking the state during the period 2022 to 2040. South Carolina, there is a minimum 83% chance of a large earthquake in the range of 4.2 to 7.3, striking the state during the period from 2017 to 2045. Puerto Rico, there is an 80% chance of a catastrophic earthquake of magnitude 7.5 to 8.0 striking the state at any time from now to 2039. We strongly urge everyone in the high-risk earthquake regions of the United States and the rest of the planet to heed the messages in this book and prepare not next week, not next month, or next year, but to start immediately. Put this book down now and start with a sheet of paper and a pencil or a blank page of your word processor. If you reside within one of the high-risk zones covered in this book, start writing your family preparation plan, including your family protection plan now. Then start to practice the plan. If you are in a relatively safe, stable geological area of the U.S., and have friends or family in these high-risk zones, start another plan. This plan will be how to help them, for they may call you or show up at your doorstep unexpectedly if they believe you are their only source of help after they have lost everything. They and your neighbors will come to your house when they have no money, no food, or drinkable water. They will show up if they believe you can provide what they do not have, or if you have the means of protecting them or their family from the hooligans who have taken over the streets in their town. Is this admonishment also a bit over the top? Think about it for a few minutes. If you live in the Northeast United States and will be without oil, gas, and power in the middle of winter because the NMSZ has had another magnitude 7.3 to 8.0 series of earthquakes. What will you do, especially if you and your neighbors haven't planned for such a likely contingency? How will you get through the worst natural catastrophes in U.S. history, ones that cannot be fixed in days or weeks or months? Again, the window of highest risk opens shortly after this book is scheduled to be published. It comes a full 10 years after revelations of the changes about to take place in the sun, to include a dangerous cold climate and the associated historic earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. Predictions about the change in the sun have been verified. The strong correlation of the next solar minimum, or solar hibernation, with catastrophic earthquakes has been established in this book. The scale of the economic damage and recovery costs in the hundreds of billions of dollars, billions with a B, to include some states going bankrupt, could be too much for our country, which is already over $19 trillion in debt. That prospect adds another dimension on top of the natural adversity we will have to face. Like the book Dark Winter, this book is yet another effort to give our people some means of understanding what our future may be like and how best to prepare for it. It is so very difficult for us to come to grips with the high probability that our generation and those to immediately follow are about to live through the most tumultuous period of natural catastrophes in the last few hundred years. Yet that is exactly what the most reliable climate science and history says is about to happen. It is also what some of the best seismologists say is about to happen. Even with these warnings outlined herein, most Americans will, unfortunately, do absolutely nothing to prepare. It is human nature. In modern Western civilized societies like that of the USA, we cannot accept that we can be subject to an utter, destructive, lasting, widespread natural disaster. Such rare happenings take place only in faraway lands like Bangladesh or Indonesia or Japan or China, where the U.S. populace and therefore our press have little interest or day-to-day coverage. People in these countries for hundreds and thousands of years have lived with horrific natural disasters that kill 50,000 or more people at one time on a recurring basis. That has not been so in the USA until now. Here in the USA, we have no historical and cultural awareness or fear of these natural cataclysms. There has never been a threat like this during our lifetime, of that of our fathers or grandfathers or great-grandfathers. Therefore, most of us will assume we are probably safe. Most of us we will believe, to our great misfortune, that the state or federal government will come to our aid regardless of what natural calamity befalls us, our city, our state, or even our region of the United States. In fact, our leaders at the DHS, DOI, FEMA, the USGS, and the White House say that they have it under control. They see if you can do a, quote, duck, cover, and grab hold, unquote, exercise in an elementary school, high school, or work site, then you will be fine. No worries. As we found in the FEMA response to our letters warning or expected catastrophic earthquakes, I think that should be warning of expected catastrophic earthquakes, our fellow citizens are now better prepared to respond to these disasters, unquote. Are you?
And, of course, Dr. John Casey wrote this book in conjunction with some other eminent scientific men, Dr. Doug Choi, Dr. Fumia Taranoda, and Dr. Ole Hunblum. And the phone number, again, if you have a pen, if you're interested in ordering Dr. John Casey's book, Upheaval, that's the main title, and it's subtitled, Why Catastrophic Earthquakes Will Soon Strike the United States, and the phone number is 1-888-232-4444, and again, that's 1-888-232-4444, and the website, again, is www.trafford.com, T-R-A-F-F-O-R-D.com. And now we're moving back from considering this almost unimaginable catastrophe scenario for the U.S. linked to the new sunspot minimum, that we see before us now the very real present threat of open borders destroying our country in ways both similar and different from Merkel's Soros UN-backed invasion in Germany and in Europe. And by the way, Merkel has made a strong statement that if Britain didn't provide an alternative plan acceptance for Brexit, you know, the quote was, "We are prepared." What does that mean? EU blue troops and tanks? At any rate, there was another bit of big breaking news right as we went to press. And, of course, you're hearing this program on Thursday, and that would be January 17th. And this was January 16th, Fox News. Washington Post warns bogus paper being distributed claiming Trump left office. What? We had those preliminary news magazine issues for Hillary, the winner of the 2016 election. Now, what do we have? We have something that we see a cover here, a picture, unprecedented, but it's unprecedented, you see? And it says below it, President Pence begins clip duck term. And it says Trump hastily departs White House, ending crisis. Wow, what was planned and what was aborted? Thank God. That's all I can say is Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly. But Fox News, it's by Brian Flood. This gives new meaning to the term fake news. The Washington Post warned Wednesday that fake copies of the paper are being distributed around Washington, D.C. Politico's Ian Colgren obtained one of the fake papers, complete with fictional news about President Trump leaving the White House for good. The false AI headline, Unprecedented, features a somber image of Trump and says Trump hastily departs White House, ending crisis. Other fake headlines include celebrations break out worldwide as Trump era ends and President Pence begins clip duck term. The bogus paper is strikingly similar to the authentic version in terms of appearance, and the Post also cautioned that digital versions of the literal fake news are circulating. The fake site contains a slew of stories about Trump's fictional departure from office and the reaction to it. We are aware of a website attempting to mimic the Post. They are not Post products, and we are looking into this, the paper's public relations department tweeted. The Post declined further comment when reached by Fox News. There are a lot of unanswered questions here. How they could produce such a remarkable facsimile? I wonder. I might smell a little rat here. Is Jeff Bezos, are they probing the public? Are they getting us ready? Are they conditioning us for the crisis that Rahm Emanuel said we must never waste? Well, it says further in this, Brian Flood. That's ironic. After what Lou just read to you, the earthquakes, the tsunami, it's interesting, isn't it? Little coincidence. They say, move on, posted an image on its Instagram account noting that, quote, activists are handing out satire newspapers in front of the White House predicting a near future in which Trump leaves the presidency. However, the far-left group has denied responsibility. Trump slams Jeff Bozo, Washington Post over Amazon founder's divorce. That's another, I guess, related article that we aren't going to get into. But there we go. We have that little thing going on. And there's more going on here, as I said, about the open borders. At any rate, in this onlooker's opinion, Patrick J. Buchanan has given CNS, I think that's Christian News Service, one of the finest writing pieces of his career. So vital, so needed.
And again, this is by Patrick J. Buchanan, January 11th, 2019. In the long run, history will validate Donald Trump's stand on a border wall to defend the sovereignty and security of the United States. Why? Because mass migration from the global south, not climate change, is the real existential crisis of the West. The American people know this, and even the elites sense it. Think not? Well, check out the leading liberal newspapers Thursday. Inside the first edition, The Post, that is the Washington Post, had more stories, including one describing walls in history from China's Great Wall to the Berlin Wall to the Israeli West Bank Wall to the wall separating Hungary from Serbia. Inside the Times, and I believe that would be the New York Times, was a story on a new anti-immigration party, Vox, surging in Andalusia in Spain, and a story about African migrants being welcomed in Malta after being denied entry into Europe. Another Times story related how the new president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, has pulled out of a UN pact on migration, declaring, quote, "Brazil has a sovereign right to decide whether or not it accepts immigrants," unquote. Half the columns in the op-ed pages of the papers dealt with Trump, immigration, and the wall. And there was nothing significant in either on the Democrats' hot new issue, a Green New Deal. Consider. In 1992, this writer's presidential campaign had to fight to have inserted in the GOP platform a call for structures, and that's in quotes, structures on the border. Now the whole Western world is worried about its borders as issues of immigration and identity convulse almost every country. Looking ahead, does anyone think Americans in 2030 are going to be more concerned about the border between North Korea and South Korea, or Turkey and Syria, or Kuwait and Iraq, or Russia and Ukraine than about the 2,000-mile border between the U.S. and Mexico? Does anyone think Pelosi's position that a wall is immoral will not be regarded as absurd? America's southern border is eventually going to be militarized and defended, or the United States, as we know it, is going to cease to exist. And Americans will not go gentle into that good night. Whatever one may think of the face-off Tuesday with Chuck and Nancy, Trump's portrait of an unsustainable border crisis is dead on. Quote, "In the last 2 years, ICE officers have made 266,000 arrests of aliens with criminal records, including those convicted of 100,000 assaults, 30,000 sex crimes, and 4,000 violent killings," unquote. The Democrats' routine retort that native-born Americans have a higher crime rate will not suffice as new atrocities like those Trump-related are reported and repeated before November 2020. What should Trump do now? Act. He cannot lose this battle with Pelosi without demoralizing his people and imperiling his presidency. Since FDR, we have had presidential government, and when U.S. presidents have been decisive activists, history has rewarded their actions. Lincoln suspended habeas corpus. On taking office, FDR declared a bank holiday. When Britain was barely hanging on in World War II, he swapped 50 destroyers for British bases. He ordered U.S. ships to chase down German submarines and lied about it. Truman fired General MacArthur. Reagan fired the striking air controllers and ordered the military to occupy Grenada to stop Marxist thugs who had taken over in a coup from taking 500 U.S. medical students hostage. Critics raged. Reagan had no right to invade, but the American people rewarded Reagan with a 49-state landslide. Trump should declare a national emergency, shift funds out of the Pentagon, build his wall, open the government, and charge Democrats with finding excuses not to secure our border because they have a demographic and ideological interest in changing the face of the nation. For the larger the share of the U.S. population that requires welfare, the greater the need for more social workers and the more voters there will be to vote to further grow the liberal welfare state. The Democratic Party is hostile to white men because the smaller the share of the U.S. population that white men become, the sooner the Democrats inherit the national estate. The only way to greater diversity, the golden calf of the Democratic Party, is to increase the number of women, African Americans, Asians, and Hispanics, and thereby reduce the number of white men. The decisive issues on which Trump was elected were not the old Republican litany of tax cuts, conservative judges, and increased defense spending. They were securing the borders, extricating America from foolish wars, eliminating trade deficits with NAFTA nations, the EU, and China, making allies pay their fair share of the common defense, resurrecting our manufacturing base, and getting along with Russia. America First is still a winning hand. That was by Patrick J. Buchanan. noted columnist, dated January 11th.
Adam Salazar at Infowars.com, Friday, January 11th, had this story about CNN reportedly declining to hear the local view of reporters from a news station in San Diego due to their positive coverage on the effectiveness of a border wall. KUSI filed a report Thursday claiming CNN had contacted them about wanting to interview one of their reporters to get a local perspective on the wall. But KUSI claims when CNN learned the station portrays the border wall in a positive light, the interview was quickly scrapped. Thursday morning, CNN called the KUSI newsroom asking if one of our reporters could give them a local view of the debate surrounding the border wall and government shutdown, a KUSI report stated Thursday. KUSI offered our own Dan Plant, who has reported dozens of times on the border, including one story from 2016 that was retweeted by former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich and posted on DrudgeReport.com, the report noted, alongside a video report of a border wall tour. Quote, "We believe CNN declined a report from KUSI because we informed them that most Border Patrol agents we have spoken to told us the barrier does, in fact, work. We have been continuously told by Border Patrol agents that the barrier along the southern border helps prevent illegal entries, drugs, and weapons from entering the United States, and the numbers prove it." On Friday, CNN denied they declined to interview KUSI reporters due to their stance on the wall, instead claiming they didn't book any reporters from the area. Well, we have the continued denials of Democrats to attend lunches, and perhaps there was a little preliminary meeting or two now, but we don't know whether these tete-a-tetes are going to work with Trump. Will he have to at last masterfully take charge of the presidency to secure the border in the way Pat Buchanan described, how those great wartime actions of FDR made a difference, and how Reagan got a landslide after his actions there, I believe, with Grenada? His millions of loyal supporters would be heartbroken, and that's Trump's. If he fails us with brave heart courage going awry and just lets the government shutdown drag on and on until there is no act to the deal, there is no art to the deal left. Now, some interesting DVDs sent to us by American Prophecy are of vital importance. One documents an FBI officer finding a contingent of both horse and human contents in McDonald's Oklahoma City production line. Of course, the human element could be due to a worker's fingernail or hair, but I can assure you that Lou and I will not be going to any fast food places for burgers. These times are over. You know, I used to love Wendy's little burgers. Even though I was gluten-free, I would just get this little thin hamburger, and I loved the little finely cut onions and ketchup, and then I would just eat it alone. And we did this till about the time of the Mad Cow era in the Bush years, around 2002 to maybe 2004, 5, something like that. Then we thought, no, we really shouldn't be getting those burgers because anytime you have the bone ground up, you have some danger there if there would be mad cow disease. And if you recall, they had linked it a lot to animals that ate other animals. And this disease in sheep, scrapies, was pretty bad. And then we heard that some of the lamb organs and so forth were fed to cattle. So I had stopped, but a year or two ago, I thought, oh, maybe I can go back to Wendy's. And I went to prayer, deep prayer, and in the Bible, I was shown very definitely, do not do it. And I was puzzled. Maybe I shouldn't have been so puzzled. The other DVD American Prophecy has is the crucial information on 5G, the coming new upgrade in power to all cell phones. We'll have a lot to say on this later on. If you would like to get these two DVDs, the one on 5G and the one about the fast food, you can write to American Prophecy, Post Office Box 137, Greentown, that's all one word, spelled like the color, Greentown, Ohio, 44630. I'll repeat that, and I would put a little donation in. We sent them a little cash, and then they very kindly sent us a contribution for the Divided Kingdom. We may not agree on all facets, but we think we can hear a lot of things that we do agree on. For instance, the Jesuit connection. We don't believe that that's the only thing that's imminent right at this time. We really don't, but we know there is such a connection. The Vatican is somewhat weakened by all this priest abuse scandal, but at any rate, here is American Prophecy, P.O. Box 137, Greentown, Ohio, 44630, and the thing you really want is 5G, and you want the DVD on fast food. Now, a third DVD from them stunningly shows the long-term Illuminati planning and foreknowledge of 9/11. And there are clips from not only The Lone Gunman, the movie that concerned the Twin Towers shot down, but two much earlier movies. One was about a shooting at the Twin Pines Motel of Two Pines, and then there was only one left, and those pines looked like the letters, the numerals, 9-1-1. Then Michael J. Fox cut a Trump-like presidential figure in the Back to the Future movie series, and a clip showed the clock upside down that read 9-1-1, 9-11. Where did we even get 9-1-1 from? That's another question. Was that planned in advance, too, so they would correspond? Most shockingly, the cartoon family, The Simpsons, weighed in long ago with Donald Trump campaigning for president, and with his character amazingly wearing the same colors and style of dress, but not only Donald, but the future Hillary, the two campaigners. And Hillary's was really very much striking because the dress was purple on both of them. And they both had the yellow hair, and I believe they both had a set of beads on. And so this was just amazing. The video maker of this documentary, The Trump Deception, postulates that Trump is merely a New World Order puppet acting his role just as the Bushes and Clintons dissemble. Now, I think that is partly true, for clips show Trump verbally praising Hillary and Bill as his best friends while standing jovially next to them. Are they too powerful as friends, as Illuminati royalty, for him to be able to prosecute them and still live? Big one. Isn't that a big question? But in every other aspect, Lou and I have concluded the Trump deception, this DVD, is perhaps an unknowing deception itself. Because here are some of the reasons. Number one, Satan. He has great power, not as much as God, but he may be able to know the future, and he could line up the colors and get everything in order. You recall that story in which, true story, at the time of my father's death, when I was comforting an older man who was a classmate in high school of my father, and I said, you know, now he's in heaven. And in a small child nearby where we knew or we thought there might be some satanic influence in the family, the little child said, now she's talking about heaven. In that kind of a voice, we really do believe that was a demonic being, and it wasn't happy, you see, with me, because now she's, and they must have known of me, now she's talking about heaven. They might have known she'll be on a radio in a decade or two, then she'll be talking about all of us, too. We don't like this, we don't like this, we don't like this. We've heard strange voices through the years on shortwave. They sound like demons whistling sometimes. There are lots of things in that realm that we don't fully understand. So we think that that could be explained, the same dress. Now, the next reason why we don't believe that Trump is an automaton of the deep state New World Order. Number one, Newt Gingrich said he did not join the secret society. Number two, Melania early on said with some frustration, wifely frustration, he does what he wants. C, we're going in points, A, B, C. C, he is reviled and hated by all New World Order mainstream press like no other politician ever. They wouldn't bother to do this if he were on their side. The same with Alex Jones. Whatever, whoever Alex Jones is, I believe that he sincerely is an individual fighting for freedom. I really do believe that. D, under Trump, he has shown good fruit. Now, some of this fruit will have about 6 points. Number one, he got us out of climate change, the treaty. Number two, he's brought jobs back. Number three, he freed the 501c churches from being politically silenced. He got us out of UNESCO. That's a very big deal, like Reagan, too, I believe. Number five, he stopped the Obama jihad flow into the U.S., trying to close the borders. Number six, he won against ISIS, the forces that Hillary and Obama nurtured to help take us down eventually. So our opinion here at the Divided Kingdom is, unless Trump shows at some point he has turned, and suddenly MSM loves him, and we see a lot of wrong actions going on, we believe that the DVD producer of Trump Deception has the wrong slant. We still believe Trump is being used by God to give us more time to repent. Oh, that is so important. And if you appreciate this program, you can write to us at Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. If you would like to help us with a little cash, you can send it to us. If you would like to write a check, it must be to WWCR, not to us. And we can be heard on WWCR on 4.840 megahertz, 8 p.m. Eastern, Thursday evenings. And again, on Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. on 7.490. We can also be heard on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, on Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern, repeating at 11 p.m. And we do thank Global Star Communications very, very much for our ability to reach you. And we hope that some of you in Europe who may hear us on your satellite dishes will write us a letter, too, to Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And now we get back a little bit to the celebrity culture and what went on with Christian Bale, this idea of the Satanism.
Christian Bale thanks Satan for his portrayal of Dick Cheney. The Church of Satan approves. This is from the Washington Post by Christine Phillips, January 7th, 2019. In his acceptance speech after winning the Golden Globe Award for the Best Actor, Christian Bale scorched Richard B. Cheney by giving an unexpected shout-out to what he said was his inspiration in portraying the powerful and uncharismatic former vice president. Quote, "Thank you, Satan," Bale said, speaking in his natural British accent, which also caught many by surprise. He also joked to the audience's amusement that he'll be, quote, "cornering the market," unquote, on playing charisma-free public figures. Quote, "What do you think, Mitch McConnell next? That could be good," unquote. Bale starred in Vice, a movie about Cheney's rise to power under George W. Bush. His kudos to what many cultures and religions see as the personification of evil did not go unnoticed. "Hail Christian, hail Satan," the Church of Satan, which describes itself as an atheist organization, said in a tweet about Bale's comments. Despite its name, the Church of Satan, different from the Satanic Temple, neither worships nor believes that Satan is some sort of powerful, supernatural, and evil being. The group said it sees Satan as, quote, "a symbol of pride, liberty, and individualism," unquote, and a projection of one's potential. Bale won on talent and skill, so his shout-out was, quote, unquote, fitting. But not everyone was flattered, wrote Liz Cheney, the former vice president's daughter, and a Republican congresswoman from Wyoming, in a tweet sharing a July 2008 story. Quote, "Satan probably inspired him to do this, too." That was talking about when Bales was accused of assaulting his mother and sister. Bale, though, was not charged. Police said less than a month later that they found insufficient evidence to prosecute the actor. Bale, thickening and graying, and this is in quotes, written by the New York Times, A.O. Scott, quote, "Bale, thickening and graying before our eyes, burrows into the personality of a shrewd operator endowed with whatever the opposite of charisma might be. as Chaney lacks any trace of charm, humor, or warmth, except sometimes in the company of his family, unquote. Evangelist Franklin Graham also responded to news of Bale's comments. He said, he tweeted on Monday, Satan is a real being, and the Word of God has a lot to say about him and his future.
And then we move to the next person who's harmed, and by chance, that's Franklin Graham.
Not only have demonic forces been trying to silence political commentators who love freedom, like Alex Jones, Michael Savage, and now stalwart national religious figure Franklin Graham has been targeted. Correct.
And before we move into that, we have to know there's another figure who's been targeted. Tucker Carlson's show has been targeted by Red Lobster, the eating place. They say it no longer is in line with company values. Well, Lou and I will not be eating there. I wanted to write them a letter, and Lou went online, and they don't even list an address. So people cannot write to them with an old-fashioned letter. Oh, no, we couldn't do this. No, no, no. But now, we'll get more to his story. If we run out of time, we'll do it next time. But let's see what happened to Franklin Graham.
Franklin Graham took a brave stand against radical Islam early on and is a firm proponent of traditional Christian values, including marriage. This is headlined, Facebook apologized for banning evangelist Franklin Graham for 24 hours. This is by Joe Marusak from the Charlotte Observer. Facebook is apologizing to evangelist Franklin Graham for banning him from posting on the site for 24 hours last week, a Facebook spokesperson told the Charlotte Observer on Saturday. It was a mistake to ban Graham over a 2016 post he made on the site and a mistake to have taken down the post, the spokesperson said. Facebook has restored the 2016 post and will apologize in a note to the administrator of Franklin Graham's Facebook page, according to the Facebook spokesperson, who agreed to speak only on background, meaning without the spokesperson's name. A member of Facebook's content review team, the team has 15,000 members, had mistakenly decided the post violated Facebook's policy that bans, quote, dehumanizing language, unquote, and excluding people based on sexual orientation, race, and other factors, according to the spokesperson and Facebook's written policy. Why? Graham asked in a Facebook post on Friday, after he said he was banned from posting anything on this, on the site for 24 hours last week. Quote, because of a post from back in 2016 about North Carolina's House Bill 2, the bathroom bill, Facebook said the post went against their, quote, community standards on hate speech. Facebook is trying to define truth, unquote. Well, I see that our time is expiring.
And we will pick up more of that story the next time. We're here in the Twilight Zone, as we said, in that dark part of January, heading toward that Emily Dickinson slant of light. We do hope that you will pray for our program, for our protection, our provision, that you will pray for the churches in America to wake up, for the pastors to take their responsibility. Will you take your responsibility? Will you tell some young people this week about our program? Go to thedividedkingdom.org. The archives are up and running. People can look and see what they need to hear. Think about this book, Upheaval. It might be something that will really help your family in years to come. Good night for the Divided Kingdom.